Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. You know I'm a big fan of enjoying life while still being smart financially. That's why I love ButcherBox. I can get a variety of high-quality meat, seafood, chicken, and pork at an amazing value, all with exclusive member deals delivered to my door with free shipping always. One thing I just never wanted to cut out of my spending plan is eating good food. And with ButcherBox, I don't have to, and neither do you. Where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Yes, you heard that right. One of my favorite go-to dinners is a salmon bowl. I'm not even a huge salmon lover, but ButcherBox's wild-caught salmon is oh so good. I make a nice little marinade, saute some veggies, cook the salmon, and throw in some Weiss. And it is an amazing dinner. If you want to take less trips to the grocery store and always have prepared meat in the freezer for a lot less money, you need ButcherBox in your life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/ETM and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/ETM. Hey, I'm Shauna Compton Game. This is Millennial Money, and today we're talking Memphis, More Than Elvis, and barbecue.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton Game. It will expand your brain.
Hey there, welcome to another edition of Travel Tuesday on a Tuesday here.
It is Tuesday.
And we're traveling. This time we're traveling to Memphis. We've gone to Memphis together before. I've been to Memphis a few different times. But this trip I went by myself on another press trip, hosted by our good friends at the Tennessee Department of Tourist Development. They hosted several journalists and we got to go check out Memphis. And there's so many things that are growing in Memphis. The first time I ever went to Memphis, took a road trip by myself across country, went to a bunch of different cities and states and cities I've never been to before. And one of my biggest goals was to get to Memphis and to get to Graceland. And the reason why we're actually doing Memphis this week, I traveled to Memphis a couple months ago, but we're doing it this week because it's actually Elvis's 40th anniversary, the anniversary of his death in 1977. So it's a big to-do in Memphis this year. But the first time I went there, I drove there and I said, "Oh well, I'll just find Graceland." It was a long day of driving, and I'll just find Graceland, find a cheap motel, and we'll all be good and stuff like that. And I totally got lost. I'm driving down this alley. I'm listening to a blues station, and I see a three-legged dog literally run in front of me, And then my cell phone rings at the time, and it scared the crap out of me because I didn't know where I was. And that was, I think, the more seedier part of Memphis.
So basically, you were getting distracted, like men say they don't do, but...
Well, what I'm saying is long story short, is that part of... I was just in that part of where I was, actually, and that part is now totally grown. There's condos there. There's redone buildings there. I mean, Memphis is – every time I go there, it changes, and this is one of the best times I had other than the time I went with you a few years ago. And what were some of the highlights of the trip when we went before, even though you were sick the whole time?
I was just disgustingly sick. I should have been in bed with, you know – a cold compressed like the whole entire time. But so I don't know if I had a whole lot of highlights, but
what about a crazy carriage ride?
We did take a carriage ride.
That was fun though. That was totally informational, right?
It was really fun.
They have
fun
them throughout, yeah.
Because I was the only sober one, and there were three other very non-sober people, and I got all sorts of drinks spilled
over me. But that guy really gave a lot of really good history.
Yes. Yes.
And then the only thing you really wanted to do...
was eat a biscuit. Because what else do you do in the South?
Right.
Then eat a biscuit. And we went to this really famous biscuit place. And
the arcade where Elvis and many, many other music stars have eaten there.
And there were no biscuits that
because
day.
Because it was Labor Day and the biscuit person called in sick. And apparently there's only one biscuit person, I guess. So people from the arcade, next time we're back in Memphis, we like
lots of biscuits.
So anyway, that was our trip before. So next time we've made some friends since then that we're going to head back to Memphis soon. So anyway, so we're going to take you on a little journey through Memphis here and talk to some locals. But Memphis is, like I said before, it really has transformed. It's now a hotbed for a thriving music scene, a thriving food scene, and more than just barbecue. And we'll talk to a couple of our guests about that too. But there's so many really great pockets in Memphis is really known for Beale Street, but there's so many pockets and neighborhoods now throughout the area. And also too, it's grown into this really great outdoor space. It's really cool. They have created this really, I think when we were there, we saw the construction of the riverfront area along the Mississippi River. And there's the bridge that when you cross over the bridge, you're actually into Arkansas. That's actually where I spent the first night I was ever in Memphis because I couldn't find a motel, and I had to go back to Arkansas across the bridge. But this time, and down by the river as well too, that's where the famous Beale Street Music Festival, which is totally exploded. This year was like Death Cab for Cutie, and a bunch of other really great bands were there, and they do it along the riverfront there. So that's really cool. But so there's a lot of really cool outdoors, you know, where you can bike. You can bike across the bridge, bike along the Mississippi River, run. They have all kinds. They're so big with festivals there. There's so many, as one of our guests will talk about, the food festivals, you know, let alone music festivals. There's so many things there. But one of the things I mentioned too, they're celebrating the 40th anniversary of Elvis's death. And so there's a lot of events going on right now. One of the things where we stayed this last time I was there, and it was newly open, is the guest house at Graceland. And we'll have another podcast about that. But last time we stayed in the Heartbreak Hotel, which is the old hotel they've torn down.
Yes, with 24-hour Elvis movies.
I'm a big Elvis fan, so that's why.
My husband decided he was going to watch them all night long and eventually fell asleep, of course. But
yes,
we did swim in the heart-shaped pool.
Yes, but we're gonna tour that place on another podcast coming up. We're going to talk to them. So one of the reasons that Memphis is so great, it's because it is literally, I think it should actually where the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame should be. I really do. It's because it's so many music came, so much music came from there. Blues, soul music, jazz, of course, the birthplace of rock and roll. But now there's also a new indie movement. There's punk, there's hip hop and rap. There's so much going on just today, let alone the history there. So this is a place you can go and actually see the birth of rock and roll, and the best place to go. And I've only been here, and we went before to buy a t-shirt at Sun Records, where Elvis made his first record, and also Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, tons of others made the records there at Sun Records. Well, it's still a functioning studio, and you could actually take a tour there. And when I went on this tour, I was like, why didn't I go on this tour ever before? It is so awesome. for any music fan. We're a big U2 fan. They still have the drums. U2 did Rattle and Hum there. They recorded some sessions there. And so Larry Mullins, the drummer, left his drum kit there. But let alone, so you go into the same studio where Elvis actually recorded, and you could actually take pictures with his mic and everything. So how cool is that?
Yeah.
I mean, next time we got to go check that out, right?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, so that's really cool. Stax Records, Museum and American Soul, which I want to take you to next time as well. It's really cool. It's the original. It's on the site where the original Stax Records was. They've turned it into a museum. It's also still a recording studio, and they also have live music there. So they'll have actually free live shows there. They've also created a music academy next door too for high schoolers and college kids, which is really great for that community. So I really like that tour a lot. Stax Records. A couple other like music history places are the Memphis Rock and Soul Museum and the Memphis Music Hall of Fame. They're both kind of located near the Beale Street area, so you can kind of check those out when you go check out your the rest of live music that's going on Beale Street, of course, most famous probably street in Memphis. Also, another upcoming podcast we come later this year. I took a private tour with some journalists at Royal Studios, and this is like the history of soul music, but also a lot of artists like John Mayer and My Morning Jacket, and also another artist, Bruno Mars and Mark Ronson, recorded Uptown Funk in the studio. So we're going to talk to the owner of that later on this week at Royal Studios, Boo Mitchell. His dad Willie started that. So we'll go into that more later. So anyway, like I said, there's so much many food and cultural festivals that are happening around Memphis, and one of our guests, Holly Whitfield, will talk about it. But one of the other things too, before we get to our guests, is the Civil Rights Museum. And last time when we were there, it was actually closed.
Yes. Everything was
closed and no biscuits. It was closed for Labor Day for some reason. But the Civil Rights Museum is one of the most powerful places I've been to. It's like the Simon Wiesenthal, the Holocaust Museum out here in LA, or I guess maybe any Holocaust museum. But this year they actually started in April of 2017 to go all the way through April of 2018. They're celebrating 50 years, the anniversary of Martin Luther King, who was assassinated there in Memphis, but at the Lorraine Motel, and the museum is actually in the motel.
Very cool. Yeah, that's definitely definitely something to see, I think. That's just a big piece of history.
Yeah, because you actually end up in the room where he, or outside of the room where he was shot on the balcony and stuff. So we're actually going to hopefully have another podcast about that, a separate one, because I think we're gonna talk to some people from there about that. But so this year, they really have this interactive, cool thing on their website about celebrating 50 years of Martin Luther King being gone from us. So before we get started with our guest, we're going to have some Memphis music here. And this is actually taken from the soundtrack to the documentary Take Me to the River, which is about Memphis music. And this is going to be Al Capone, Booker T from Booker T and the MGs, who's an older band, and the Mississippi All-Stars. And this is Supposed to Be.
Come on, take a ride with me. South Memphis, North Memphis, Tennessee. I'm a product of my environment. Same neighborhood as Mr. Booker T. Riding in the van where he gave me game. Some things change, some remain the same. It don't really matter because we do our thing. Different time period, but we still the same. We gon' get it back where it's supposed to be. Black, white, it don't really matter to me. The past and the present bring a whole new team. We gon' get it back where it's supposed to be. We gon' get it back where it's supposed to be. Get the money flowing so we all can eat. We gonna get it back where it's supposed to be. Memphis, Tennessee, making history.
Okay, so first up on our list, we have a really great local Memphis expert, Holly Whitfield, who is a writer, and she is in charge of the I Love Memphis blog and podcast. A lot of cities have these, visitors guides where you can go find things like that. This is a really go-to, like anything you want to know about Memphis, you go to the I Love Memphis blog. It is so awesome. So she's going to talk about how Memphis has changed and is growing day by day. And also how it's really become, as I mentioned before, a great outdoor space in an urban setting. All right. So thanks for coming on the show, Holly. I totally appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah. I'm excited.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about the I Love Memphis blog.
Sure. So the I Love Memphis blog has been around since 2009. It's actually a part of the Tourism Bureau in Memphis. We call it the Convention and Visitors Bureau. Mm-hmm. But it's really an independent project for the CVB that I get to be in charge of, and I get to write every day on the blog about all the cool things to do in Memphis, cool people, places to eat, cool music that we have going on, like any kind of events and festivals. A lot of events festivals.
Right.
People really use the I Love Memphis blog as a resource. So it's whether they're locals that live mm-hmm. here and want to know what's mm-hmm. going on this weekend, or whether it's somebody who's planning a trip here that wants to see our city through a local's point of view.
Right.
Kind of beyond the Elvis and barbecue. Like,
right.
I do plenty of that, but
right.
I really want to show people what's going on beyond that.
Right.
So yeah, I get to be a part of our tourism bureau, but I also get to really write about whatever I want to write about. They don't really tell me what to do. So
yeah.
You can trust me when I recommend something.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what it's important too. People are looking for that. They're looking to get like locals,
yeah.
you know, their perspective as opposed to just, you know, go to the highlight touristy places and stuff like that.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So, and you guys also have the Only in Memphis podcast as well.
Yeah, I do. Well, I do an I Love Memphis podcast from
yeah.
time to time as well. Too,
right,
so
and that and talks about the same kind of stuff that you...
Yeah, it's just kind of an extension
right.
of what I'm doing
right.
on the blog.
Right.
And on social media, I'm always on Twitter. I love Twitter,
right.
Instagram, Facebook,
right.
all the above.
right. And that's like a cool way to kind of travel to a city, too. There's so many festivals, like the Beale Street Blue...
Music festival, right?
Yeah. I mean, that you build a trip around that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, and that's, I would really recommend if you're coming to Memphis or you're trying to figure out when to come to Memphis, check out the blog or tweet me or something, because I can tell you, like, what's going on and
right.
this month or that month. Like, this weekend is, like, the busiest weekend ever coming up. We have, like, 12 festivals. I'm like, guys, let's spread these out.
Right.
But there is something going on every week.
Right.
So you can base it around whether it's food or music or arts.
Mm-hmm.
We have something going on all the time.
What kind of the festivals are coming up now?
Okay, so the spring we have a bunch of crawfish festivals, mm-hmm. and all of our festivals always involve great local beer and great live music. So even if the focus is like crawfish, or the focus is like, we have a breakfast festival in September. Mm-hmm. I'll just throw that out there with breakfast food.
Really? Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah. It's like breakfast brunch,
right,
you know,
right.
Bloody Mary contest. It's pretty great. Well, the biggest one that's coming up actually is our Memphis in May festival, which is all month long in May, and actually has like 5 different events that are a part of it. And it's wonderful. It's like party time, awesome time in Memphis to come. Like the first weekend we have Beale Street Music Fest.
Mm.
It's 3 days of music. It's you know, it's your music fest. Like
right.
wear your rain boots, wear your sunscreen, come right. see some great bands.
In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters, and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout-friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle, full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them. But vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/etm. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/etm. That's monarchmoney.com/etm for your extended 30-day free trial.
And then the week after that, we have International Week, where we focus on a country and have lots of arts events from that. This year, our country is Colombia. Mm. I actually got to go there as part of like researching for Memphis in May. Mm-hmm. Then we have Barbecue Festival, mm-hmm. which is technically right. Technically, it's the World Championship Barbecue Cooking Contest, but here in Memphis, we call it Barbecue Festival.
Right.
Downtown smells like delicious meats the whole week. Then we have a 901 Fest, which is our area code. Mm. It's all Memphis stuff. And we have like a half marathon. That's all in May.
Right.
May is amazing. So we just, we have stuff like that all the time.
Right. And also, like we were just chatting before Memphis has really grown in the downtown area too, and they refurbished a lot of buildings and, yes. and made it like that. So, and so you've seen it really grow in the last several years, right?
Yeah, I mean, I moved here in 2005, mm-hmm. and I have seen so much grow. And it's not necessarily like the kind of sprawl, the urban sprawl or the suburban sprawl. Mm-hmm. It's really focusing on kind of reawakening stuff that's in our downtown, that's existing in our midtown area, taking buildings and doing interesting things with them instead of just like tearing them down and building right. something uninspired right. and new. So it's been so cool to see. I mean, honestly, when I moved here, like, and you came downtown, I'm from a smaller town in Mississippi, so I was like, oh, cool, downtown. I mean, the Mississippi River is here.
Right.
So it's impressive.
Right.
But there wasn't a ton to do.
Right.
There weren't a ton of places.
Right.
And now if you walk down Main Street, which is no cars, just pedestrians and trolleys,
right.
You can just kind of go from bar to bar, restaurant. You can go to the Civil Rights Museum, and it's all within an area that you can walk. And that's just an example for downtown.
Right, right. And that's also a charm too, with the trolleys and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's way cool.
It's super cool. We've had like we have these vintage trolleys, and we're actually in the process of sort of refurbishing mm-hmm. them. So I'm hoping by the end of this year we'll have them back on the tracks. But right. it's really not that far to walk either.
Right.
You just want to walk down right. Main Street.
Right. Yeah. So we're besides downtown. Mm-hmm. Like, so that's not the central part of or the only part of Memphis.
You can go
to some. What are some of the other cool neighborhoods to go to?
Oh man. Okay. So downtown. I mean, we have a kind of our downtown core. Of course, we have Beale Street, and then there's South Main, which is mm-hmm. a little bit more artsy, mm-hmm. kind of down the south part of downtown. But if you move into Midtown, there we have several more like entertainment districts. I'm going to call them that.
Mm-hmm.
One is Cooper Young. That's actually my neighborhood. Okay. It's kind of a funky, artsy street at the intersection of Cooper and Young.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a Cooper Young Festival every year in September that blocks off the whole area and, you know, just tons of fun. But so you can do a lot in terms of like eating and drinking, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have Goner Records, which is a, you know, a punk record label, but also a record store that you can't always find here.
Oh, cool.
Comic shop, art shops, boutiques, that kind of thing in Cooper Young.
Right.
And then just a mile down the street, and this is something that's only happened in the last 3 or 4 years, Overton Square is another place where you can go hear live music every night at a bar called Lafayette's, which is a huge place on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
More places to eat, movie theater, all of that. One of my favorite places, though, is Broad Avenue.
Okay.
The Broad Avenue Arts District. When I first moved here, for some reason, I decided that I should study architecture instead of writing. I hadn't figured out what my calling was yet. But I was part of like a little planning group that went over to this abandoned street in Memphis, just east of Midtown. And there was one place open and all these boarded up buildings. The one place was Broadway Pizza. They make these just like giant thick crusts, like delicious pizzas. And that was the only place. And we were drawing ideas and sketching, like, oh, what if there was this here? What if there was that here? What if there's a bike lane? You know, what if there was, you know, shops? What if it was alive? And if you go down there today, it is packed out. I think it's at full capacity for the street.
Completely transformed.
Completely transformed.
Right.
And it's really cool to see that, like, and just kind of my personal, like, personal tiny little piece of getting to see what it was before.
Right.
And now. And it is, you know, there's a lot, like I said, to eat and drink, but there's also a cool coffee shop that doubles as a boutique.
Mm-hmm.
5-in-1 Social Club is a really fun place to go in if you're looking for, like, a Memphis souvenir, but not, like, a kitschy keychain.
Right, right.
You want something, like, created by a local artist, go there.
That's cool.
So that's Broad Avenue. Right. So those are just like three neighborhoods in Midtown that I'm just throwing out there.
That's awesome. And you also mentioned too that Memphis is more than just Elvis and the blues.
Yeah.
There's so much more diverse music scene, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we pretty much have every genre of music here. I mean, I mentioned Goner Records. Memphis has had an active, you know, the Antenna Club in the 90s. An active kind of like punk and rock scene, shows all the time. They have Goner Fest every year in late September or October. People from around the world come listen to that. But I mean, we also have amazing hip hop, R&B, rappers, gospel. I mean, we have every genre. Like, right. And a lot of times people in Memphis, because of and one particular band, Southern Avenue, comes to mind. And it's kind of a fusion of, you know, soul music, rock music, country even, and people in Memphis that have been here even just a little while, they kind of soak in all these influences. So, yeah, I do want people to know that we have a lot more in the arts. I mean, even like theater and dance, classical music, more than just blues, but we do have blues too.
Right. And, and everywhere you go, that you also, there's a tons of live music too. That even at Stax Records, they'll have free live shows too and stuff, which
Stax,
is
Stax, the museum is one of my favorite places.
Yeah. It's a really great, you know, history through soul music and stuff like that.
Yeah. So you can go see the history of where, you know, where the Stax label kind of like that 70s groovy, Memphis sound, and then right next to where they have the museum, they also have the Stax Academy, which is where they teach students from all over the country. It's a, you know, rigorous process, but these high school students are the most talented musicians and singers ever. So you, if you go to that place, Stax Museum, you're seeing like the history, and you're also seeing kind of like the future,
right?
In one place. And if you ever get a chance to hear the Stax Academy band or choir perform, which they do all the time, you must take it.
Right. Is that one maybe one of the hidden gems in Memphis?
Yeah, I was gonna say for sure. I mean, I think people know about it, but it's usually down on the list. People are saying Graceland, Sun Studio, and then it kind of goes and splits off to like rock and soul, Civil Rights Museum, which is not music, but it is on the list. Yeah. And but I just think Stax is, it's cool, it's well done, it's in the original site.
Yeah.
Of where it all went down.
Right.
So yeah, I love that place.
Right. And also too, you mentioned the Civil Rights Museum that I think even more so today it has become a really important place to go to.
I think so. And, you know, about 3 years ago, they underwent kind of a multi-million dollar renovation.
Yeah.
And now the Civil Rights Museum, I mean, it's at the site of the Lorraine Motel where Dr. King was assassinated. And when they did the renovation, they really focused on the story of civil rights as a whole, even to a certain extent internationally, and the different struggles for civil rights that are still going on today. But they made it about more than just Dr. King and kind of told the whole story from the beginning. It's a lot of interactive exhibits. I mean, it's really powerful. So I think when they redid it, they took it in a really great direction.
Right.
So.
Right.
And there's a lot of events that happen that take place there, whether it is like a demonstration or whether it is a vigil or these kinds of events that people, like you said, even now are rallying around. It's a place for that to happen.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's good that we have it in Memphis. It's tough. It's a tough thing that we've had to deal with, having that sort of legacy, that mark on our history. Yeah. But what are we going to do with it?
Right.
And so I think this is, you know, a direction that could be very productive for us and important.
Right.
Definitely visit it.
So what would somebody traveling to Memphis, what would surprise them about coming here?
Oh, man. I mean, I think it would surprise a lot of people that there are so many things to do besides just visit Elvis's house. I think I hear a lot of people surprised about that. I think they'd be surprised to find that we do have several of these kind of walkable, bikeable, neighborhoods, like Cooper Young, where you can just kind of go hang out. I think it would surprise them too that our food is not just like soul food and barbecue. We have pretty much anything that you want. We have a great food scene. That's a big reason to come to Memphis. One thing that I've been kind of harping on, I guess, is how much fun you can have outdoors in Memphis.
Right.
Like, people don't think about Memphis being like a fit town or like an outdoors place, but I mean, we have the largest, like one of the largest rivers in the world right here. You can go for a run or walk or whatever, hang out by a river. We just opened the Big River Crossing, which is a bike and pedestrian bridge that spans the river and connects downtown Memphis to West Memphis, Arkansas. And, I mean, it's a train bridge, but they spent, you know, all this time sort of changing it into a place that now you can walk across the river, which is so cool.
Right.
Shelby Farm is one of the largest urban parks in the country. You can, you know, go kayaking, canoeing, trails, horseback. Zip line. Yeah. Oh, the scary zip line. You should read my blog post about when I did the zip line. It was interesting. But, yeah, I just think people will be really impressed and surprised about the outdoors and the food and just kind of the breadth that we have to offer here.
Nice. So you mentioned your blog, I Love Memphis. So where can people find I Love Memphis blog?
Yeah.
And the podcast and stuff.
So ilovememphisblog.com. Easy enough. At I Love Memphis on Twitter, I Love Memphis on Facebook, at I Love Memphis blog on Instagram. So, I mean, if you Google I Love Memphis blog, I'll be there.
Right, right. And get some good tips before you come to Memphis.
Yeah, and absolutely, you know, feel free to use me as a resource. I love it when people leave me comments or, like I said, tweet at me for specific suggestions. Because if you're looking for, you know, a vegan place to eat downtown, you know, I can help you with that.
Okay, so our last guest is one of the coolest interviews I've had the pleasure of interviewing lately. He is a musician who actually regularly plays all around Memphis, including the famous Beale Street. He plays there weekly, at least once a week, and he's now become an actor. He was actually one of the actors who plays Scotty Moore in the TV series, short-lived TV series, Sun Records, about Elvis and Johnny Cash and Jerry Lee Lewis coming to fame. He is a native Memphian, so he is born and raised there. So he's going to talk about the thriving Memphis music scene, what it's like playing on Beale Street, and what are some of the cool things that he loves about his hometown, Memphis.
All right, Will, so thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Awesome. We're having a great time in Memphis. So.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Glad to hear that.
So you live in Memphis. Are you actually from Memphis?
I am, yeah. Born in Memphis. Grew up in Germantown, a little suburb, just right on the east side of town. But spent so much time downtown, I feel like I might as well have just grown up in Memphis. So.
Right, right, right. Is that where you're living now? Or?
I actually live in Eads, which is, once again, northeast side of town.
Right.
But, never too far.
Right, right. Nice. And you play in a few different bands that you have, Will Tucker and Will Tucker Band, you said.
Sure, yes.
And you regularly play on Beale Street too, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, about every weekend doing Beale Street, mostly Saturday nights, sometimes Friday, Saturday nights. Just never know what we're
right,
up to.
Right, and Saturday nights seems like it would be like the busy, crazy time.
It tends to be, yeah. Yeah, usually when the fun starts.
Right, right. And you guys play a lot of like cover and blues and stuff like that?
Yeah, mostly covers, lots of blues and rock, kind of catering to some of the out-of-town folks that come in and want to hear authentic Memphis music. We try to give them that.
Right.
Usually lots of Memphis blues and soul.
Right.
Occasionally an original song thrown in there just to keep it real.
Right.
But
right.
Yeah, mostly that.
Right. Yeah, any crazy stories?
I've got a lot of crazy stories, man. Gracious. I've had some ex-musicians get mad and literally jump off the front of the stage. I've had people get on stage and not really had a good way to get them off stage,
you
know what I mean?
Right, right.
Dropped guitars. I've passed out. I pretty much just spent so much time down there that pretty much anything can happen
right,
to a person.
Right, right.
Has happened.
Right.
I almost can't even. There's so many. I can't even think of like one.
Right, right, right.
Right now, but some crazy stuff.
It's great that there's so much concentrated music in one area, though. Like
it is. It's cool. And it's a really tightly knit community. This is something we've been trying to break, but in Memphis, there's a Memphis music scene. There's like the Memphis music guys and there's the Beale Street guys. And there's kind of a hard line.
Sure.
Like there's not many guys that know each other across that line. The guys on the Beale Street loop are pretty close knit, which is cool.
Right. Right.
And hopefully we can get it brought out and just make it one big family one of these days, but we're working on that. So.
Right. But Memphis also is a pretty diverse music scene too, right? There's all kinds of different.
There is. There's, you know, you got the blues thing on Beale Street, and of course, there's a pretty strong indie rock scene in Midtown.
Right.
And so, and of course, country, straight up rock, small jazz scene. There's a little bit of everything around here. So, pretty diverse for sure.
Where are some of the good places to go check out music?
Well, and of course, Beale Street. Love, I'm biased, BB King's, Hard Rock Cafe is cool. There's usually some great blues bands playing. Down at Blues Hall on Beale Street, kind of a really nice raw juke joint. You can kind of get that original vibe. Rum Boogie Cafe in Midtown. You got Lafayette's Music Room. Always great music at Lafayette's. There's a couple other venues in Overton Square that sometimes have music, sometimes not. Lafayette's is a sure shot. Laughlin Yard has some some cool live music on, especially on the weekends. But between Overton Square and Beale Street, you're bound to find something good.
Right, right. That's awesome. So not only you're a musician, but now you're a big time actor, right?
I don't know about that.
On this season of Sun Records on CMT. So how did that come up? You said you went to an open call for Scotty Moore.
Yeah. So basically saw the ad on Facebook, I think, for the open call audition for then called Million Dollar Quartet, later called Sun Records.
Yeah.
And just thought, man, I'll go give it a shot. One of the interesting things when we first went in there, you had to. They only had a list of the main characters. Mm-hmm. You kind of had to try out for one of those.
Right,
and
sure.
Then maybe they'd place you further.
Sure.
And so the closest one I could come up with was Carl Perkins. I didn't really identify with the other.
Yeah.
I'm not Elvis. Definitely not Jerry Lee. Definitely not Johnny Cash. So that was the closest I could come up with was Carl Perkins. And I went in there, and the first thing they made me do, they said, bring your guitars. You know, we want musicians. Well, I walk in there, and the first thing they say is, all right, here's your monologue, basically. Yeah. You got to read this back to us. Right. You got a minute. I'm like, man, this is foreign language to me. So I was so nervous, but read it in front of them, and apparently it was good enough to where they said, all right, you can play guitar. Okay, well, you'll go on to the next step and try playing guitar and try singing.
Right.
And so that was the thing. We went up. It was at Humes High School, which was cool. Oh, now Humes Middle, but
we're Elvis,
the original Humes
High School. Yeah.
So that was cool. I went up into the old auditorium and played some guitar and for the music director, Chuck Mead, and they seemed fairly impressed. And we ended up going to a few different callbacks, I think like two or three callbacks. And finally was introduced the part Scotty Moore after a long, drawn-out process. That was super cool. A part I really resonated with.
Right.
So I was super happy about that.
Right. What was it like shooting some of the Sun scenes that you're actually playing Elvis's guitar player?
It was absolutely surreal. The most surreal thing I've ever done.
Right.
I mean, being such a fan of the music, always studying it, listening to these old recordings.
Yeah.
And here we are in a mock-up Sun studio that looks like a brand spanking new Sun studio.
Right.
Sitting there with Drake Milligan, who played Elvis, who's just, I mean, he's a freak of nature.
Yeah.
He really is.
Yeah.
I mean, looks like him, can talk like him, can sing like him. He's really unbelievable.
Yeah.
So we're there, we're playing together, and it was a dream come true. I mean, I'm such an era, a fan of the era, too, a fan of the 50s. So it was like going back to the 50s, not only being in the 50s, but also being there. At Sun Records, it's crazy,
right?
That's crazy,
and it's a really great thing for Memphis too.
It is, yeah. You know, I know financially, economically. It was great for Memphis.
Yeah.
They pulled so much from the city, drew as much as they could. Like I said, a large amount of the production team and quite a few actors and extras came from Memphis. So brought a lot of economic growth in that way. But then, of course, from a national perspective. Kind of gave a spotlight back on what Memphis music is all about and what is so important history wise here in the town. So yeah, good in more ways than one for sure.
Well, and also too across the board here in Memphis, I mean, people are really proud that Elvis. Even if you like all kinds of different music, they're really proud of Elvis, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are. I mean, I think some people don't like that Memphis seems to only be known for Elvis, but when you can get past that, he was the king of rock and roll. I mean, you got to own up to that,
Yeah,
I mean, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, so you got to love it. And I think that does hold true pretty well in Memphis that, you know, we get to kind of own that one. And then, you know, going on from Elvis, you know, Memphis has always said the home of the blues, the birthplace of rock and roll.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, that's a pretty strong title to hold. So, yeah, I think for every good reason, pretty proud of it.
Right. What would people be surprised about coming to Memphis?
It's a great question. I think they'd be surprised how much great music is still here, still growing and still being created. I think they'd be surprised how much history and culture this town has to offer.
Right.
It's not one of the biggest cities on the map. It's not one of the most well-known cities.
Yeah.
But you come here and everyone, whoever visits, seems to leave saying, man, I don't really know what it was about that town, but it just had like this this soul to it, man.
Right.
I just kind of feel like I'm leaving a little bit more of a cultured person.
Right.
And I don't really know why, you know, between Stax Records and Sun Records, of course, Royal Studios, the high rhythm stuff. It's just, and beyond the music, you know, there's, of course, you have the civil rights movement here and amongst other things. It's just, there's a lot this town has to offer from a historical standpoint and from things that are happening every day.
Right.
Yeah, it's just something special about it.
Right.
I think people would leave with that feeling. Just like, man, I don't know what it was, but it was
right.
Left me with something.
So last question, where can people find your music online?
Yeah, so you can get my music pretty much most digital formats, iTunes, Spotify, if you like streaming. You can also grab a physical copy of my mm-hmm. album on willtuckermusic.com.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, right there.
Hey, that was a cool podcast about Memphis. Now I literally cannot wait to go back.
Well, next time we're really going to get biscuits, too.
Definitely.
And absolutely. And there's other things to see now, too, that I can't wait to show you as well, too. So, to send you out on this Memphis podcast, we're going to do one more song from the Take Me to the River soundtrack, which is based on the music of Memphis, with rappers 8Ball and MJG, which are my initials except for the M part, with the older group from the 60s and 70s, the Barqués.
The Barqués.
And this is They Wanna Be Like Me.
Awesome. So enjoy the song. As always, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Shauna Game. You can follow Jeff over on Instagram at The Traveling Game. And there will be links to all of the amazing things that were talked about in this podcast in the show notes. So be sure to head there for all of these amazing things.
And then we have a lot of links this time. So check it out.
Memphis 10 born, ABALL, right there from Orange Mound. I do my thing well. My roots run deep, like blues on Bill Street. I talk about my life with music over hip-hop beats. Our music legendary, they sing it around the globe. I'm puffing plenty Mary, it give my fingers soul. The story's being told for future generations. Perfect harmony, no hating nor no complications. We demonstrating perfect etiquette, forever hitting. We trying to do it like the Rolling Stones and never quit. So go and download it, Facebook, and tweet your friends. Let them know you want to be like me and get it in.
Whatever you're saving up for, a CD from Sandy Spring Bank lets you grow your savings at a guaranteed rate. Right now, earn interest at 4.5% APY on an 8-month CD special or 4.25% APY on a 14-month CD special. Learn more at sandyspringbank.com/CD specials. Minimum opening deposit to earn the annual percentage yield is $500 for the 8-month CD special and $2,500 for the 14-month CD special. Member FDIC.